You are never really alone, guardian angels of all kinds, part 1. Hello my friends, thank you for passing by my channel. I hope you are happy and okay today. I am Marie. Of all that defines the living experience of a soul in third density earth, what is perhaps the most prevalent feeling, or characteristic, is the feeling of being alone. And I mean at a profound level, because although a soul in a biological body may be next to family and friends, or even next to a lover, there is still that feeling in the background, of being cut off from the rest of the souls, be it as a suppressed emotion, perhaps as something we all take for granted. You are in a body and you cannot access the complete and fulfilling feeling of integrity with all the other souls, in the field you are in. Apparently, that feeling is only attainable at death, when the soul that is returning to source is reintegrated into the greater cosmic field in higher astral realms, as reported by so many people who have gone through a near-death experience, and by those who naturally remember what it is like to be in between lives. That deep feeling of being alone while in a biological body is also present in all other places, and planets, whatever density they may be said to be in. And it looks like it is something that inescapably goes hand in hand with the simple fact of being alive. But, while living in third density Earth, the 5 or 6 body senses prevail as the only means of detecting and giving us input about what surrounds our body. So when someone there looks around and sees no one, it does not mean they are really alone, as those 5 or 6 senses do not detect all there is. Throughout the ages, there have been countless stories of guardian angels, who have intervened during a tragedy, or helped someone when they most needed it. This is another case where apparently there aren't as many cases, unless you start to research this, because when you do, the number of cases starts to pile up quite dramatically. There are thousands of anecdotes like the next few I will share with you. A man walks out the door of his house, as he does every morning on his way to work, and a stranger walks up to him and tells him in a very assertive voice, "Don't take the train today, just don't." As the man looks around him for an instant, he is startled to see that the stranger has disappeared in thin air, and there is nowhere he would go as they were in the open. Spooked by this, the man decides not to take the train, and later on that same day, he finds out that his train derailed and crashed with great loss of life. In another example, an 8-year-old child wanders a little too far in the woods during a camping trip with his family, and can't find his way back. As he walks and walks for hours in a desperate attempt to find his way back, it starts to get dark and very cold, and his chances of surviving there alone are slim to none. Then out of nowhere, a big black dog appears. The child is very fearful of it at first, but the dog appears to be friendly, as he jumps around him before making the child understand that he should follow him, in that very doggish way of expressing the follow me message, all of you who have dogs understand. The child walks after the dog, who runs away a bit, only to stop and look behind from time to time, to see if the child is still following him. After a while, the child and the dog suddenly came to the edge of the woods, right where a highway passes, and where several police and rescue vehicles and personnel were preparing a search and rescue operation to find the missing child, who had been gone for many hours now. When the police and rescue workers find the child, he turns around to look for the dog, but it is nowhere to be seen. In another example, a woman is about to get mugged, but right when her aggressors try to get near her, an invisible barrier appears between them, also paralyzing the aggressors, allowing the woman to escape unharmed. There are also countless stories during wartime, where a soldier literally walks through hell, receiving no harm at all. There is another famous example of guardian angels helping, like this next one. During Christmas Eve one year in the 1950s, a British jet fighter aircraft, that was known as a de Havilland DH-100 Vampire, was flying at night from Germany to its base in England, where the pilot was going to meet his family for the holidays, when it lost all of its lights, interior and exterior ones, leaving the pilot blind and in the dark, and even with his engine working properly, he didn't have a way to find his bearings, to know which way he should fly. He found himself flying blind and alone over the North Sea, flying on a moonless foggy night, with no direction, and with his fuel quickly running out. He then started to fly, making a figure eight as best as he could, as that is a distress signal, comparable with Mayday, or so I understand. Then out of the dark night sky, an old World War II, twin-engine Mosquito fighter plane appeared with all its lights on. The pilot maneuvered next to the crippled fighter jet, whose pilot did his best to fly as slow as possible to equalize the speed of both aircraft. The Mosquito pilot turned on his cockpit lights to be seen, while he made several gestures with his hands indicating the other aircraft to follow him. Both aircraft headed towards England side by side. Then the Mosquito pilot indicated to the other pilot to release his landing gear with a hand gesture, which is the movement of a fist opening into a full hand. The crippled jet pilot followed the Mosquito wingtip with wingtip, descending slowly, then suddenly he felt his wheels touch the tarmac of a runway, and slowly his damaged aircraft came to a safe stop. He opened his canopy and looked around, seeing nothing but foggy blackness, until the Mosquito with all its lights flew past him at a very low altitude, with its pilot waving goodbye, while the sound of its twin Merlin engines whining pierced the night, and as it took altitude and disappeared in the dark sky. The rescued pilot, not being able to see anything, decided to stay inside his cockpit as it was very cold outside. When morning came, he found himself near the end of an abandoned World War II runway, full of plants and grass growing through countless cracks in its tarmac, and a deteriorated wooden control tower was nearby, or what was left of it. The pilot walked to the nearest town where he contacted his base and his family. He then was informed that no Mosquito aircraft was known to have flown that night, as those are all valuable historical aircraft, and he was also told that where he had landed was a Mosquito base back in the war, where a pilot was famous for flying rescue missions alone. He used to go out to guide crippled aircraft back to their bases, as they returned from their missions in Germany, until one night, he himself was lost and never was seen again. He was known as the Shepherd, and it looks like he came back to save one last pilot. The origin of this story is unclear, and there are several theories about it. The first one is that there was a space-time anomaly that mixed the era of the jet fighter with the one of the Mosquito. This is not as far-fetched as it seems at first, as there are also countless other stories similar to this one. The second one is that the Mosquito and its pilot were ghosts, a guardian angel, arriving to help one of its own in a time of need. And the third one is that someone made up this story, and it is only fiction. Anyhow, it is a good story, and for some reason, I always get very emotional each time I remember it. There is a lot more going on around the world of the living, as it is surrounded by the astral, high and lower one, and with all the creatures and things in it, although as I have explained before, the so-called material world is also more astral, and its hardness, reality and linear time are nothing more than an illusion. What and how much we can perceive depends only on how expanded our awareness is, and the biological body is a way to isolate the soul's perception within a set limited range, although this is not always the case. Each soul incarnates with a life plan, you can also call it a destiny. When the soul is in between lives, and planning its next incarnation, it is in a space where time is flexible and not linear, therefore it can know what will happen in his or her future while incarnated, as from the soul's perspective between lives, it is always living in the now. Yet, even knowing beforehand what it will experience, and consciously choosing a particular life and all the experiences it will have in it, it is also conscious of the multidimensionality of existence, that is multiple variations and timelines within the same lifetime, the soul is choosing to experience in its next incarnation. This means that although the soul knows what will happen during its next incarnation, therefore it knows its destiny, it is also conscious of all the multiple variations it can have of that same incarnation, as consciousness and awareness are so much more expanded when the soul is in higher existential realms, as well as because time there is simply not linear. So, from our incarnated perspective, while we are experiencing a life in a biological body, we do have a destiny, and at the same time, it can also be changed. Having a destiny does not mean that you cannot alter it, yet from the perspective of that same soul, when it is in the space between lifetimes, it does have a life plan it wishes to follow. We all have spirit guides and guardian angels, helping us during our lives. They whisper in our ears thoughts we think are ours, ideas that guide us and accompany us through our lifetime. This is only the first part of this subject about guardian angels and guiding spirits. I simply cannot include everything in a single video, because I don't have enough time to write it all, as I write my subjects almost always the day before it is published in English. But before I go, let me tell you a little secret in advance of the next video. Let me ask you a question: why do you think your guardian angel is so interested in your well-being? The answer is, your guardian angel is you again, and no one else. You, from a more expanded point of view, form the space in the higher astral, where everything is now. Your higher self is your guardian angel, the most expanded version of who you are, as spirit, and from the space where you are timeless and full of wisdom. That's why it is so invested in your well-being, because it is you again, and everything that happens to you affects your higher self, as well as vice versa, of course. Besides being your own guardian angel, you also have several other souls who are also taking care of you and guiding you through your life, other souls who are your family and your guides. Although they may not be you, remember that from well above we are all one, so we can argue that all those spirit guides are also us again, also you again. Yet, bad things do happen to us all, right? Other forces want our souls. Dark entities from the lower astral also whisper in our ears, and also do their best to make us behave and do things that would be in their favor, so they can exploit us. Again, this is also a case of tuning into the right vibration, as I explained in my other paranormal videos, and as I will be explaining in detail in the next one on this subject. But besides higher selves, guardian angels, and spirit guides, a starseed stellar family also monitors and helps its starseeds using technology such as drones, as I will also explain in the next video. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking and subscribing, it helps me a lot, and I wish to see you here next time. Be very well and enjoy your holidays. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.